Bienvenidos. It is a pleasure to have you with us right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. It's on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Subscribe to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher, worldsoccertalk.com, Twitter, at World Soccer Talk, and at Sports Byline USA. My name is Nate Abarea. Tweet me at NateWST. All of you grassroots soccer enthusiasts, get at me again at NateWST. Craig Burley, the former Chelsea, Celtic, and Scottish national team man, is going to be with us. You know Craig's work here in the States with ESPN FC. So much to talk about with Mr. Burley in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. Cannot wait to get Craig on the line. One day away, baby. One day away from the Cali Classico. Yet another edition of the Cali Classico, this time at Avaya. Every time I hear Avaya Stadium, I finally get to go for the first time tomorrow night. Avaya. I just think about those old ads with Wayne Brady. Remember, Avaya had Wayne Brady as their spokesperson forever. Then they fired him. Bring Wayne Brady back. Come on, it's the Wayne Brady show. No, I am stoked to go to Avaya Stadium after years of following the San Jose Earthquakes from Spartan Stadium to Buckshaw Stadium with stops along the way in the Oakland Coliseum, AT&T Park, Candlestick, the old Stanford, the new Stanford. Wherever the Quakes have gone, I have been there to support this team, and it is going to be beautiful to finally get to see this new stadium in the flesh. And as a lifelong Liverpool supporter, it's going to be a little strange for my first time seeing the great Steven Gerrard. Stevie G? I'm going to see him in a Galaxy uniform. The first time I'm ever going to lay eyes on the man who I idolized all throughout my childhood. He's going to be wearing the uniform of a team that I have despised for all of my childhood and into my early adulthood. But hey, I'll still give Stevie a little salute, and then he'll be a Galaxian from that moment on. Cannot wait for that. World Soccer Talk Radio in the house for the Cali Classico at Avaya tomorrow. We'll give you all the flavor on Monday's show, get you prepped for it in tomorrow's show as well. Hey, Champions League group draw came out today. A couple of big ones. Group A, I like Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid in the same group. Group G, Chelsea and Porto. Jose Mourinho gets to go back to Porto, and Chelsea will also be making a trip out to Israel to take on Maccabi Tel Aviv. So I have to get Raphael Geller on the show when Chelsea heads out to Israel. Arsenal and Munich, also a great draw. Like them all. Quite a few storylines to go with. Craig Burley's with us on the other side of this break. Stay tuned, World Soccer Talk Radio.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable. That has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
iHeartRadio loves music, so let's count the ways. Over 20 million songs from 800,000 artists, all free. And like Pandora, you can create your own custom station from any of those 800,000 artists. Just tell us an artist or even a song that you like, and we'll build a custom playlist for you. Add to that thousands of the best live radio stations, and you'll never have to worry about finding the perfect song for your commute, mood, or party. Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download our iHeartRadio app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
Talk Radio, back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Aberea. Tweet me at NateWST. It is a pleasure to just add to the illustrious history of Scottish contributors to the success of World Soccer Talk Radio. Craig Burley joining us. Craig, thank you so much for coming on. How you doing, sir?
Good afternoon, Nate. You've had a few Scotsmen, have you?
We've had quite a few. We've had many who have worked with you and actually spoken very highly of you, Craig, including Derek Ray, Mark Donaldson. We hope to get Stevie Nicol in the near future. No, the Scottish connection with this show is absolutely fantastic, and I am quite glad to continue it. So, hey, we're going to talk all about the Scottish national team a little bit later in the program, talk about your playing career and some of your takes on Major League Soccer recently on ESPN FC. But first off, I want to talk with you about the work that you do with ESPN FC. You've been in the States now for 2 years. It's 2 years since you and your family moved to the U.S. And I think what a lot of people want to know is, what was the catalyst for that move, and how have the last 2 years really treated you?
Well, yeah, I mean, the last 2 years have treated me great. I mean, it's, you know, and the family, I mean, it's a great place to live. It's it was a bit of an upheaval, obviously, moving everybody, and you know, ESPN stroke Disney were great with all the relocation. Of course, I did absolutely nothing and left my wife to pack the whole house and get it all shipped and all that. It just the usual man thing there. You know, I just stuck away in a hotel somewhere and pretended that I was working while they did all the hard graft. So that was the difficult side of it. In terms of how it all came about, as some of your listeners may or may not know, before ESPN FC, the program really was ESPN Press Pass, which had been going internationally for around 12 to 15 years, before it was rebranded as FC for US TV, plus the international audience. And so I had worked on that program from the United Kingdom for quite a few years and had you know, got a very good relationship with my boss and the coordinating producer of that program, Steve Pelezi. And so I was a regular contributor to that on the international channels whilst working regular in the UK, mainly on the Premier League. And as I say, I formed a very good relationship with Steve, and he was always asking me, Nate, if I would ever move to the US, and I never sort of ruled it out. But once the landscape changed in England with ESPN pulling out of the United Kingdom, with BT Sport buying over some of the channel and launching their own channels, it was time for a change, and they offered me the job, and we came to an agreement after a few months, and so I took up on it. So basically, that's the reason. I felt it was time for a change. I had covered Scottish football in the early days. I hadn't covered it so much in the latter years, so I'd sort of been there and covered all the United Kingdom, and I just felt I didn't really want to do that again.
Well, you've been a great addition to soccer television here in the States, and a lot of people share that opinion. Now, I want to ask you about the wacky and star-studded crew over there at ESPN FC. And I was thinking there's so many ways that we could start this, but what better way to break the ice than with this question? Have you ever wanted to punch Dan Thomas in the face?
It seems that way. And of course, as you well know, I don't really, but quite a lot of people who watch and listen to podcasts and listen to radio stations and go on social media think that I've got a beef with almost everybody, which I haven't. I mean, the guys at ESPN and NFC will tell you, if you get me on the golf course and you've got a problem, I try and help you out. I try and, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that I am on that ESPN FC site. It is merely TV. I switch on and off, mate. When I go to work, I switch into football. Sorry, how can I make this entertaining? It's a slow news day. What are we going to do? I'm going to wind Dan Thomas up. I'm going to wind Stevie Nicol, Ali Moreno, Shaka Hislop. I'm going to get a reaction from Gabriel Marcotti. And I'm going to have my own opinion. And as soon as I leave work, I switch off and I go for a beer with the guys. So I purely see it as what we do is a six-day-a-week television program that goes out not only in the States, but goes out in England, Australia, New Zealand, the Caribbean, Canada, Japan, and all these countries. And we've got to try and make that interesting for 6 days, not one day a week, not a one-hour show one day a week, but 6 days. And, you know, that takes a little bit of energy, and so that's how we have some bigger arguments now and again, but effectively Dan and I got on great, and we walk away laughing after some of the arguments, and that's the way it's been for years, and I'm sure that's the way it's going to stay.
Well, I enjoyed, I think it was during one of the shows last week when Dan asked you, did you forget to bring, in his very, very nice tone, in his somewhat sarcastic tone, he asked you, he said, well, Craig, did you forget to bring your happy pills to the set today? Very, very much enjoyed that. And Dan, if you're out there listening right now, I look forward to having you on the show again to hear your side of all of this stuff. Hey, how would you describe your fellow Scotsman, Stevie Nicol? What's it been like working with the Liverpool legend and proud Scotsman, Stevie Nicol?
Stevie's great. I've been golfing with him this morning, actually. He's got this big long putter that I keep telling him these big long anchor putters are going to be outlawed next year, and I've told him it's outlawed even for him because he struggles. He can't get a grip of it. So we've been golfing today. Him and I got on great. We both like a beer. We don't take ourselves too serious, and that's the key to it. I mean, I don't take myself, I may come across as a serious guy or angry or unhappy, but I don't take myself too serious. I do my job and that's it. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody has an opinion. I had a very good playing career and I'm very lucky, but Stevie had a great playing career, you know, but he's the type of guy, he never talks about that. He won't tell you about winning umpteen Premier Leagues. He won't tell you about winning a European Cup playing for Liverpool. He won't talk about, oh, the great Liverpool sides that I played in. So he's very, very grounded. It's not about him. It's about just getting on with the show. And that's what everybody loves about Steve. His playing credentials are the best of our group by far, but he's a very grounded individual, and of course he's got a lot of love still for Liverpool and a lot of frustration for Liverpool as well.
What are you and Stevie drinking out on the golf course?
Oh no, very professional. No beers recently because most of the time we're having to go to work off the back of it. I say work, we go and do the show. So we might not necessarily we might not necessarily do the show or be in the ESPN to around about 2:30 if there's games on or if there's a Sports Centre segment like there was yesterday for me on Manchester United. You go in a little bit earlier. So we tend to be, a lot of times because our schedules are different during the week, we don't tend to have the same days off, which is, I think, something that Steve Pelezzi, our boss, tries to make sure happens, because otherwise we would both be on the beers on the golf course. But so we haven't really been bevying too much, mate, on the course. It's all been work, and of course we don't drink whilst we're working because that's a sackable offence.
Indeed. Hey, in the minute and a half before we got to head to our first break, would you say what one of the weirdest occurrences on the set of ESPN SC that you've experienced? What are the weirdest occurrences be over the last couple of years?
My God, well, Stevie and Shaka have been dancing on a regular basis. We've had people walk off the set. I mean, it's like there's a little bit too much flatulence goes on in that studio. And I tell you, it's not me. There's a lot of flatulence goes on in that studio.
Who
is
it?
The guy you've been talking about for the past 5 minutes, his diet Stevie Nicks' diet is an absolute disgrace. The man is a heathen. He won't eat modern food. It's double egg and chips and all these sort of stuff. And oh my God! And so he brings an air of, you know, smoothness and generosity and down to earth. But he also brings an air of something else quite often to the studio, and it's not very nice.
He brings a literal air of something else, and I'm sure that it's not nice, and I'm also sure that I hope to never have to experience that side of the great Liverpool man named Stevie Nicks, and a fine Major League Soccer manager for a number of years with the New England Revolution, Craig Burley of ESPN FC, the former Chelsea, Celtic, and Scottish national team man, is with us right here on World Soccer Talk Radio, and we're taking a trip back to Stamford Bridge in the early 90s. We're talking Chelsea, then we're talking Celtic, we're talking Scottish national team and MLS in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. You stay with us. We're back after this.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
iHeartRadio loves music. So let's count the ways. Over 20 million songs from 800,000 artists, all free. And like Pandora, you can create your own custom station from any of those 800,000 artists. Just tell us an artist or even a song that you like, and we'll build a custom playlist for you. Add to that thousands of the best live radio stations, and you'll never have to worry about finding the perfect song for your commute, mood, or party. Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download our iHeartRadio app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Abarea and Craig Burley back here with you on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Tweet us your take on the show at World Soccer Talk and tweet me all your enthusiasm for grassroots American soccer at Nate WST. Hey, I promised a trip to Stamford Bridge in the early 90s, but I was actually on your Twitter page here, and I got to ask you about this video that you posted of Usain Bolt getting taken out by this cameraman on a Segway. What do you make of all this?
It was actually tweeted out by a US golf writer, and I just saw it and made me laugh. So I was like, I just sort of retweeted it. Yeah, it seemed a bit strange. These camera guys get way too close to these superstars these days. But hopefully he's not injured, Mr. Bolt, because he's a very very precious commodity, isn't he?
That was one of the most skillful things I've ever seen from Usain Bolt, is the way he didn't actually get rolled up by the Segway, the way he actually kind of like hopped up over it and then did a somersault out of the fall. It was as impressive as any sprint I've ever seen from him. This cameraman has got to be just, you know, feeling like a dog excrement right now. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened with you as a member of the media since you retired from your playing days?
Oh, as a member of the media? That'd be a difficult one. I mean, apart from the many mistakes that I made on commentary way back in the day, one of the things that was embarrassing, and we were doing a game at Manchester City. Chelsea were playing at Man City, and the game was frantic. It was a few years ago. It was a live commentary for Setanta Sports, which were then the sort of number two in the UK, and I was with John Champion, and John Terry got sent off. And we went over this with the director during the game. We kept going back to it. Was it a sending off? Was he denying the goal scoring? Was he doing this? Was he doing that? And, of course, back in the UK, we were on open talkback all the time, so we've got people in our ears chuntering non-stop. And late on in the game, this was about the 70th minute, and late on in the game, this tackle went in about 93rd minute. And I've gone, what a great tackle there by John Terry. And... And the director, Grant Phillips, match director, who's my mate, great match director, said to me, Craig, John was sent off 20 minutes ago. I was like, oh. Now, there was 30 seconds left, Nate, in the actual playing time, injury time, and I thought, do I say something or do I keep quiet? So I decided to go for the keep quiet, hoping nobody would notice sort of thing, and it wasn't too bad in the end, but it was all rather embarrassing, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm glad you've never rolled anybody up on a Segway, and we'll try to keep it that way coming.
I mean, there's a few stories I couldn't tell you on air about our times away and trips and whatnot, but yeah, nothing too bad. And you know, I kind of got a kind of halfway sensible when I went into broadcasting, because you know, as a footballer, you sort of get away with a lot of things because you're sort of rolled up in cotton wool, and you know, us sort of soccer players think we're above everybody else and we can do what we want. When you go into the broadcast and all of a sudden you're representing and you're not that footballer anymore, and you really got to tone it down a little bit and sort of pull it back, because a lot of companies don't take kindly to stuff. So it's been, I wouldn't say boring, but there's not been any major incidents, apart from somebody falling in the river outside Newcastle and almost getting drowned. One of our VT operators on the live OB at Newcastle got drunk one night after a Newcastle live game on a Saturday night and fell in the River Tyne, and was luckily spotted by a guy in a boat and was pulled out of the River Tyne. Otherwise, he was getting swept out into the North Sea. I mean, it's scary stuff.
That's not warm water. That's not calm water. No, that is not anything mild right there. I'm glad the man was okay. All right, hey, enough about segues and falling drunk into rivers. We'll I'm glad to talk about that another time. What I want to talk with you about right now is your time at Chelsea. You spent eight seasons with Chelsea, and you were a linchpin for that club, and your style of play was something that is respected to this day around the circle of true Chelsea fans. And I'm sure you see where I'm going with this, how I'm segueing into this. How would you compare and contrast Chelsea then to Chelsea now? And is it almost hard to believe, as someone who was there during, I mean, they were by no means a poor club. I mean, Chelsea were always a club that was up there. But seeing what Chelsea has become in recent years, does it ever just blow your mind when you compare and contrast these times?
Oh, absolutely. And when you say true Chelsea fans, I mean, I think it is true, inverted comma, for every club that I was at, because there are some people, and you probably know this, and it won't be a surprise to me, but a lot of the supporters at clubs that I've played for absolutely can't stand me. They hate me because I I can honestly say that I don't really give two hoots about Chelsea above Leicester City or above Aston Villa. I don't care about Celtic above Rangers or Derby County above Nottingham Forest, because good or bad, I can switch off. And as soon as I leave, I kind of do. Yes, I've still got some people I know back at these clubs, but not many. And so supporters take that as a, you've turned on our club, you don't support our club. And I don't, because to be in this job, I think you really have to be objective and impartial, although it may not come across that way. But going back to Chelsea, Nate, I actually was just there shortly 10 years, but that, you know, a lot of people don't take the couple of years I was there as an apprentice as a 16-year-old, and that's why a lot of people say you're at Chelsea 8 years. I was there from 1987, I left in 1997, 3 months short of 10 years. Chelsea was crumbling when I was there. For people listening and thinking about Chelsea now, the stadium was crumbling. You know, there was standing areas, there was concrete benches on the west stand where Mr. Abramovich now sits. Down the bottom, it was all concrete. There was a running track, or a greyhound track used to go round it. It was a great stadium. I loved it. It was old school, but it wasn't conducive to anything that we see now in the modern game. And, of course, it sort of evolved over the years as we went along under Ken Bates. But it never really came to life until the huge investment and money came in from Roman Abramovich. And obviously now what we see is what Roman built at Chelsea. And there's a lot of new Chelsea fans go down there. But it certainly wasn't like that, Nate, way back in the day in the late 80s. It was a not very picturesque stadium that probably had about 18,000 to 20,000 supporters on average. And it was tough times. It was tough times for Chelsea in those days.
Now, you played for Glenn Hoddle for a number of years at Chelsea, and Hoddle was such a controversial character in a number of ways. And in hindsight, when you look back on playing for him, how do you remember him as a manager? What was it like playing for him? And this is kind of part two to this question. Do you think he'll ever manage in the Premier League again?
I don't. No, I don't. I don't think he will. And I know you're doing quite a bit of broadcasting now, Glenn. A lot of people don't like Glenn Hoddle that played under him. A lot of them think he's aloof and arrogant and ignorant and way down the road with his views, with Eileen Drury, who is the spiritualist and all that. And no, I don't believe in all that nonsense. That's not for me. Although he did send me to Eileen Drury once, and I was like, you know, you kidding me? I'm not going to. He said to me, it will be beneficial for you and the team if you go and see her. So I took that as saying, if you don't go and see her, you're not playing at the weekend. So it's just one of those things that had to be done. But I personally don't. I like Glenn. I really enjoy playing for him. He was a fantastic footballer, as we all know. He's a genuinely nice guy, in my opinion. Yes, he could be a little bit aloof at times, and I think the Tottenham lads found him that way. But I certainly never found him. I never found it problematic to work under him in that respect. I respected him. I enjoyed working under him. We got to the FA Cup final in 1994. Unfortunately, lost to Man United under Glenn. And then he took the England job, which came around too soon for him. But it's one of those things, Nate. If you turn the England job down, does it ever come round again? So he packed his bags and left for that. And Ruud Gullit came in and took over from there, who, if we are talking about aloof and arrogant, then he is certainly top of that page.
I love it. All right. 2 minutes before we got to head to break, and I was actually wanting to talk about Celtic, but here in the now under 2 minutes before we got to head to our next break, Craig, what was your experience like with Eileen Drury? Because I've actually read a lot of great stuff and heard a lot of great stuff from the likes of Ray Parler, Robbie Fowler, Gary Neville, who talked about their experience with the spiritualist and this faith healer. What was your experience like with Eileen Drury?
Well, as I said to you, I put the fence up and said, I'm not going. But he said to me, you're going, basically. So I went down to see this. I'm cynical. I'm not into all this. Some people are. So I went down. It was in Nigel Spackman, the former Liverpool and Chelsea player's kitchen. So we're in this kitchen. It's not very professional. Some of them sat through in the lounge having a cup of tea. So I walked in. I had a hamstring issue and a pelvic issue. I had all these issues that I was trying to deal with. She sat me in a chair in the middle of the room. She basically walked around me. She talked to me. She never touched me. She may have put her hands on top of my head at one point, but it was a very light touch. And it must have been 10 or 15 minutes. And then she said to me, right, okay, you're finished now. How do you feel? I was like, I feel the same bloody way I do when I came in. You know, so it's like, nothing's happened. It's absolutely, you know, my pelvis was out of place. It was tilted. That was my issue, which I later found out. Now, going to a faith healer isn't going to make my pelvis pop up an inch in height and go back into place. So it's just a load of old baloney, mate. And it's something Glenn believes in and other people believe in. But for me and most of the players, and you mentioned Ray Parler, that's some funny stories. It's not for them.
Well, and definitely some added layers to that story, and Eileen Drury's daughter and how she relates to that whole situation. But we'll leave that for another show. And when we get back, we're taking a trip way up north. We're talking Scottish national team with Craig Burley right here on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Don't go anywhere.
Things change as you get older. Glasses get thicker, sunscreen gets stronger, hair grows where it shouldn't. The same is true for your car. Some changes you can see, some you can't. So Valvoline created MaxLife, our best defense against the hidden signs of aging for cars that are just getting started at 75,000 miles. We introduced motor oil in 1866, and we've been reinventing it ever since. Valvoline, 140 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of MaxLife and an oil filter starting at $23.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Come celebrate new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline with a chance to upgrade your drive when you fill up at Shell. Introducing the 100 BMWs and 100 Day Sweepstakes. Swipe your fuel rewards card to enter to win a BMW 320i. Don't have a card? Get one free at participating Shell stations or visit fuelrewards.com/win. Offer ends September 8th, 2015. No purchase necessary. See official rules at shell.us/win. Void in Maryland, New Jersey, and Virginia where prohibited by law.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan silver dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Nate Abarrea and Craig Burley with you here on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. It is time to take a trip way up north. We're talking about Craig's time with the Scottish national team, and I definitely want to talk about the 1998 World Cup in France. You were a Celtic player at the time of this tournament. You were playing your club football in Scotland, and then you suit up for the national team, and you get to play in a World Cup. What do you remember most about France 98, Craig?
Well, it's probably the greatest 12 to 18, 24 months of my career. You know, I'd moved from Chelsea after the 97 FA Cup final. I'd moved to Celtic for back in 97, I think it was £2.5 million. I never really wanted to go back to Scotland, to be honest with you, because I'd always plied my trade in England, but it came about. I joined a fantastic club with a great bunch of players, with the Henrik Larsens of this world, the Paul Lamberts who had just won the Champions League, the list goes on, and we had a great season, culminating in myself being voted the Scottish Footballer of the Year for 1998, got 15 goals, and then it's the year of the World Cup where we're opening the World Cup, Scotland against Brazil in the opening game, so that's obviously a showcase game for Scotland, because that is our World Cup final, because we're not going to win it. I mean, we're quite honest, you know. I know here in America, people keep saying, well, you know, is it going to be a time where the US is going to win the World Cup, and is it 10 years, is it 20 years, is it 30 years? I think from a Scottish perspective, we're a little bit more grounded. We're like, well, listen, we ain't going to win this thing ever, so let's just go and enjoy it. And that's what we did. Unfortunately, we did what we normally do, which was didn't get enough points and come back early. But in terms of the experience and playing against Brazil in the opening game in Paris, which was a Brazilian side in 98 that was spearheaded by Ronaldo, I had Rivaldo, I had Dunga, I had Roberto Carlos, the list just went on. So it was a great experience.
Craig, would you have believed that would be the last time that Scotland would play in a major tournament? That was the last time that they were present in a World Cup or a European Championships. Would you have believed that at that time?
No, because I believed, you know, at the time, 25, 26. We had an experienced but a blend of youth in our team, and I thought the team we had would have went on to... Because we played at Euro 96, and then a lot of the older guys from the European Championships in 96 sort of drifted away. Some new guys came in. And so we felt then after that, we actually lost the Euro 2000 playoff to England, which was built up as this huge match when England beat us in Glasgow. Paul Scholes got two goals, and then we beat England at Wembley. Don Hutchinson got the goal to give us a 1-0 victory, but it ultimately wasn't enough to get us to the European Championships. But we thought we would go again, and unfortunately since then, the standard of player has deteriorated. I mean, it had deteriorated long before I was there. I mean, it went from the Soonesses of this world and the Dalglishes to somewhere in the middle, and then it went to us, who weren't in that category, but still had a good team. And then it deteriorated even further, and then it went down again, and it became quite embarrassing net, some of the results. Then we went down the road of bringing in a foreign coach, Bertie Vogts from Germany, which clearly didn't work, and since then it's been an uphill struggle, and of course getting to Russia 2018 or even France 2016 is still at this moment in time going to be very difficult for a national team that has a lot of its players not playing in the top tier of English football.
Well, Craig, you talk about an uphill struggle, and I love how this comes full circle, that the last time Scotland were in a major tournament, it was the World Cup, France 98, and a lot of people have, in my opinion, I think, semi-realistic hopes of Scotland qualifying for the European Championships, France 2016. How fitting would that be that it would be in France again for Scotland to make their return to top-flight international football in the Euros, and with the work that Gordon Strachan's doing, with the squad that he has put together, and really the attitude that this manager has instilled, will they do it? Do you think Scotland will qualify for Euro 2016?
Well, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it through the playoffs for me, and I think it will be themselves and the Republic of Ireland that are going to be vying for that third playoff spot. I think Germany and Poland are the two better teams in the group and will probably take the automatic places. But I like Gordon Strachan. I like what he's done. He's got a bit of energy and organisation about the Scottish team. We know, and he knows the limitations. He isn't fishing in the biggest pond out there, but he's got a lot of guys that are quite hungry and are doing a job for him, and I think he's done a splendid job. I think if they don't qualify under no circumstances, is his job under threat? Not at all, but it's just going to be difficult. Michel Platini's opened it up slightly, hasn't he? He's increased the teams for the first time at the Euros to 24 teams. That's risen from 16, and previously, many years ago, it was 8. So it has opened the door for quite a few countries of a certain calibre, and that's where we come into the equation. So it will be between Scotland in the Republic of Ireland to see, in my opinion, to see who goes to France in the summer. I certainly hope it's Scotland, but who knows?
Well, I love it. When we had your colleague Mark Donaldson on the show a few months ago, we do a Scottish word association. I throw out a name or a place or a name, and I say, you know, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And I said, okay. Gordon Strachan, and Mark said, the man that's going to guide Scotland to Euro 2016. So hopefully that can hold true. I am definitely pulling for the Tartan Army, and it would be beautiful to see Scotland back in the top flight as far as international football goes. Hey, let's come back stateside, Craig. Last week on ESPN FC, there were some very interesting debates that you were a part of relating to the Gerard Lampard showdown at Carson and the Galaxy NYCFC, the star-studded affair on MLS Sunday. And then we don't even get Gerard Lampard and the kickoffs delayed by 20 minutes for the Little League World Series, a bunch of prepubescent Little League baseball players delaying the kickoff of this supposedly massive Sunday MLS match. Something I want to ask you, and this stems from some of the things that you guys talked about, and you're kind of laughing at this being labeled a star-studded affair and how hyped up this match was. In your opinion, where is the line in MLS between journalism, punditry, and public relations? Because this last week, it was really difficult to see any line between journalism and just flat-out PR in the build-up to this NYCFC-LA match?
Well, I'm an outsider here, and we obviously have people... My remit here, Nate, isn't particularly to watch Major League Soccer. I try and watch a little bit, but I'm an honest guy. I don't watch a lot. I've got too many other things I need to watch. I don't watch any Scottish football at all, if I'm being honest with you. I can't bear watching that. You'd have to chain me up with Hannibal Lecter to get me to watch the Scottish stuff at the moment. It's that bad. But in terms of Major League Soccer, we've got Taylor Twellman that covers it and Adrian Healy cover it. But we do have to talk about it in the show, and so you have to be sort of up to speed. Looking at it from the outside, coming in with I came in with an ignorant blinker view. MLS is crap. Not good. And I thought to myself, do you know what? That's quite a blinkered, ignorant view, which I just said. And so if I don't look at it, I thought, do you know what? It's actually doing a lot of good things. Building nice stadiums, family friendly. It's a family day out. The crowds are good. The standard has risen. The better players are starting to come. The American players have gotten better, and that was borne through by the US team getting out of the group stage again at the World Cup. But I do feel the one thing that it lacks and it struggles with, it's insular, and it's almost like a cult. It struggles to accept criticism of any level. It's almost like, and Scotland's the same at the moment. You criticise the Scottish game, and all these guys come out. It's not quite like Braveheart, but it's not far off it. All these guys come out. How dare you? How dare you talk about the Scottish football? We must talk this game up. And I sort of semi get that with Major League Soccer as well. But there is an air of reality to it, and I know what you're getting at. It was Dan Thomas's tease when he said LA Galaxy against NYCFC, and this game is just littered with legends. And as you know, I said on the show, hold on a minute, there's only four playing. So there is a reality here. There was only four so-called legends, and Stevie Nicol, I leave an argument saying that Robbie Keane's not a legend because he's in so many clubs. So there is a reality check, I think, at times, and I'm not a journalist that follows it. There are people that do. They have their own opinion on it, but I wouldn't criticise the standard. It's getting better, but I do think if they are going to improve and really keep moving it forward, some of them are going to have to man up. They're going to have to man up to the criticism, both the players, the coaches, and even the pundits that follow it. It's not a cheerleading exercise. It's a job of analysis, and we're not here to be popular. We're here to say what you think. If you think it's bad, and you think it's doing the wrong thing, or if you think something is nonsense, then you've got to say that. And I think the quicker people this side of the pond learn that, then the tougher Major League Soccer will get.
Well, and I think this is a perfect opportunity for me to reiterate something that I said on the show yesterday, and that is scrap this gang mentality in American soccer, because I am a grassroots enthusiast myself. I love the lower division renaissance going on in American soccer and these true local connections, these local flavors, these grassroots projects and clubs sprouting up all over this country. I love that. I'm also a San Jose Earthquakes supporter. I have watched MLS for a number of years. I will be at an MLS match tomorrow night. Quit this you have to pick a side mindset. You can criticize Major League Soccer and still watch Major League Soccer and cover Major League Soccer. We don't all have to put our pom-poms on and be cheerleaders. No. Or the other end of the spectrum, we don't all have to just be haters who pick this thing apart and can never give even a slight compliment.
Well, I work for, before I come into this, amongst several of the companies I work for, including Five Live and BBC Five Live Radio and ESPN, blah, blah, blah. A lot of my work before I came here was for the Premier League's in-house channel in London that would go around the world, both from a commentary perspective and a studio perspective. But, you know, I've said over the last 12 months here and on our ESPN FC show, the Premier League has to up its game. You know, it was embarrassing last year in Europe. It wasn't the greatest of standards in terms of the games. The teams need to make sure they're getting better. Technically, they need to make sure they're getting better as well. So, listen, even leagues like the Premier League, who some perceive is the best league in the world, some think it's La Liga, there's an argument either way, it has to get, no matter how much money, the NBC Sports and Sky Sports and BT Sports and BN Sports in Doha and all these companies are paying for it, it needs to get its act together like any other league. It is not beyond criticism. But as the Premier League has sort of learned to take that and soak it in and get on with it. So it's just, it's all sort of relative to where leagues and you know, these things are in terms of the progress. And I think MLS is doing just fine, absolutely fine.
Well, there was a tweet that came out during, what game? It was the NYCFC Orlando match. It was great. It was the Pirlo debut match, and you had Kaká playing for Orlando, packed crowd at Yankee Stadium, great atmosphere. And one Joey Barton, who has definitely garnered quite a bit of attention for himself in social media and everywhere else he goes in life. He tweeted out, he said, "Hey, fine match this. I'm watching Orlando NYC. I'm quite entertained by this match. Great attacking football. The defending, however," and he put a little winky face at the end of it. And there was a reply from one of the heads of Major League Soccer social media, and this just sums up the problem for me in so many ways. The reply from this one of the heads of MLS social media was, "Oh yeah, at Joey Barton 7, would you rather have a nil-nil game?" I mean, this ultra-defensive mentality, and then the joke off of that was, wow, well, MLS, you know, executives get more defensive than any of the teams, clearly. And it cracks me up that, you know, you have a guy out there, you have a European footballer watching this match and promoting it on social media, and yet you still get defensive about someone being even slightly, ever so slightly critical about the product. That has got to change. We've got to be able to be objective and be honest about this league and about American soccer. And again, great point there from Craig. People criticize the Premier League, and you don't see BPL executives or social media folks getting defensive about people criticizing certain aspects of the football. Hey, we've got 40 seconds left here with you, Craig, and I've done this with every Scottish guest that we've ever had. When you hear the name Sean Connery, what goes through your mind?
Thanks.
That's all?
Well, I've been... Where does he live? I mean, I'm Sean Connery. I can't do his voice. What goes through my mind is Sean Connery pops his head up every now and again to talk about what is good for Scotland, but I can't remember, and this is what Scottish people say, I can't remember the last time Sean Connery lived or paid any tax in Scotland or the UK. So unfortunately, the first thing that came to my mind was tax.
Oh, Craig Burley, you are welcome back on the show anytime, sir. This has been an immense pleasure and a privilege. Thank you so much, man, and best of luck here in the near future with the ESPN FC, man.
Thank you very much, Nate.
Again, that was Craig Burley, the former Chelsea, Celtic, Scotland national team man. Check out his work with ESPN FC. We're taking the express train home on the other side of this break, and I don't think that Sean Connery is going to be with us. We'll see. Stay tuned and find out.
to mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are the Health Markets Insurance Agency. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, the Health Markets Insurance Agency can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. Health Markets Insurance Agency is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
Who the a Man United? Who the a Man United? Oh, hey there, Manchester United fans. We have got a special treat in store for you this Sunday. We've got two of the blokes from your favorite Manchester United YouTube channel, the Full-Time Devils. They're going to be calling the Swansea Man United match on Ravel.tv. It is going to be some great fun. United currently unbeaten. That's right, unbeaten on 7 points. No goals allowed. Sunday's game, a true test, though, against one of the informed sides in the Premier League. The Swans, well, they continue to fly high. Will we finally start seeing Wayne Rooney rediscovering his goal-scoring form? Will we see Memphis continuing to be an attacking threat down the left wing and living up to that number 7 on his back there for Manchester United? Find out this Sunday. Gaz and Adam from Full Time Devil sharing their thoughts and opinions during the game live on Rabble.tv. With Rabble, you know what to do. Tune into the TV broadcast, press the mute button, then head over to Rabble to listen to Gaz and Adam sharing their analysis. Rabble, you can listen to the broadcast on your desktop, iOS app, and your mobile browser. Plus, join in by posting your questions or observations in the comments section, or create your own broadcast. Call one of your team's games. It's easy. It's free. It's Rabble. Join the Full-Time Devils on Rabble this Sunday, 10:45 a.m. Eastern Time. Rabble.tv, where it's your team and your call. For the gaffer, Christopher Harris, the producers in San Francisco, and Mr. Craig Burley. My name is Nate Abarea, signing off. I'm going to go see the Quakes in the Galaxy tomorrow. Cheers.